I'm Drew, I'm an addict. Yes, tradition's out for us. Clean date is 7/26/10. Grateful to Narcotics Anonymous for saving my life. When I think about the traditions, the steps help me to not kill myself, and the traditions help me to not kill you guys. That's kind of the way I've always looked at it. Yesterday I was just kind of reading up on some of the tradition stuff and the basic text, and it works out in why, and I guess I'll qualify myself. I have done the tradition working guide, but that doesn't mean I'm some master of it. So what I did was, while I was reading it, I was like, you know what? I've gotten this far by asking my predecessors, so I called some people with a bunch of clean time and talked to them about it, and I feel like I got a lot out of that. And so, you know, I can't possibly cover all the traditions here, and so I grabbed a few that I wanted to talk on, and then I'll pass it over. So tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. I actually was thinking about, like, so I highlighted some sections in each one, and I'll share on that, and then I'll kind of talk about that tradition. So some of the stuff that stuck out to me on tradition one was, to maintain unity within Narcotics Anonymous, it is imperative that the group remain stable or the entire fellowship perishes and the individual dies. Unity is a must in Narcotics Anonymous. We can disagree without being disagreeable. Time and time again in crisis, we have set aside our differences and worked for the common good. We have seen two members who usually do not get along work together with a newcomer. And so I thought of, like, you know, not just applying it to my recovery. And of course, like, when I think of traditions, I mostly think of service work. You know, like, you know, if you never had an opportunity to practice some traditions, go to your local area service committee. You'll get a lot of opportunities to practice them or not. And so, you know, I remember when I first got clean, I joined a home group. I had like maybe 100 days, and I started chairing a meeting, and they were like, cool, you want to be the alt GSR? And I'm like, I don't know what that is, but I'd love to. And so what alt GSR meant was that now the GSR doesn't have to show up anymore. So basically I became the GSR pretty quickly. And the facilitator at my area, she was very headstrong, very argumentative, and her and I did not get along a lot because, like, I thought I knew some shit too. We did both bring valid points on different things, but the service committee, we would get into it. And she's, you know, that was 15 years ago, and she's one of my closest friends now. So we were able to, like, you know, focus on the greater good for, you know, the still sick and suffering addict. And when I think of tradition one, like, in the rest of my life, not just in area service or in meetings, I think about, like, I own a company, and, you know, there's so many different moving pieces to running a business for me, and not everyone has to understand each move, but some of them are to try and, you know, some of it's just for the greater good, right? This decision here, if I make this wrong decision right here, it'll negatively impact everyone, or if I make this decision, which in sometimes won't always be popular, it's for the greater good of everyone, right? And so, you know, like, one thing that, you know, some of these traditions that I was looking at made me think of is, like, something like in my home group right now, I'm not a huge person, like, on, like, loving change, right? And we have someone that came from a different area, and they celebrate 6 months. You know, you get like a celebration, and we called it in the area I kind of grew up in, the 18-month key tag was like a resentment key tag, because we're not going to ask you how you did it. Sit down and tell us when you got 2 years, you know? And the reason I bring that up is that I like, if I step away from my initial reaction and I think, like, oh, that's different, I don't like it, like, the people that are, you know, about to celebrate the 6-month thing are, like, really excited about it. And if at the end of the day, like, our primary purpose is to carry the message and to help the still sick and suffering addict, if that does that, just because it's different for me, I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, like, we're here to stay clean, right? So another one is tradition three, only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Desire is the key word. Desire is the basis of our recovery. One thing I like that, you know, I don't read this enough is when it's talking about desire being the key word, it says an addict who does not want to stop using will not stop using. They can be analyzed, counseled, reasoned with, prayed over, threatened, beaten, or locked up, but they will not stop using until they want to stop. The only thing that we ask our members is that they have this desire. Without this, they are doomed, but with it, miracles can happen. And the first sponsor I ever had, when I asked them to sponsor me, first of all, I let them know that I was already done with the first three steps in rehab. And so I was telling him, like, we can just start on four. And he's like, is this how we're going to start this? Are you telling me what to do? So we started on one. But he asked me, what are you willing to do for your recovery? And, like, without it, not even a second, it was whatever the fuck it takes. Like, I don't care. I'm here to try and stay clean. And one of the sayings I do like in the rooms is that if this was for those of us that needed it, we would meet in stadiums. But it's for those of us that want it, so we meet in churches and coffee shops and shit. So I remember when I lived in Myrtle Beach area, first, you know, 2 or 3 years I was clean, there was a guy that came over from the other fellowship, and he would always introduce himself as, my name is David, and I got a desire to not use. And that would piss off some old-timers. But that's a tradition. Like, he has every right to say that he's David, and he has a desire to not use. And so that one always makes me think about him, and that's all it takes. Is like, if you have a desire, you are welcome, right? So in tradition five, that was one that stuck out to me. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. And it said that, I thought our primary purpose was to recover from drug addiction. For the individual, this is certainly true. Our members are here to find freedom from active addiction, or from addiction, and a new way of life. However, groups aren't addicted and don't recover. All our groups can do is plant the seed for recovery and bring addicts together so that the magic of empathy, honesty, caring, sharing, and service can do their work. The purpose of this tradition is to ensure that this atmosphere of recovery is maintained. This can only be achieved by keeping our groups recovery-oriented. So one thing I think about with this is back in that same area when I had first gotten clean, there was a girl that she struggled a lot with, like, being very suicidal. But she stayed clean, and she did not kill herself. Her brother did kill himself, and that messed with her a lot. And she would come in day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and share about it. But the thing that I loved about her that she was carrying on this tradition was that she would come back next week and share how she stayed clean through that. So she would always say, like, it's my responsibility as a Narcotics Anonymous member to not just carry the mess. I gotta come back here and carry the message and tell you how I stay clean, right? I love that. And then just the last one, and then I'll turn it over to our other speaker here. Tradition 10, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Part I highlighted here was this tradition says that NA has no opinion on outside issues. We don't take sides. We don't have any recommendations. NA as a fellowship does not participate in recommendation, or does not participate in politics. To do so would invite controversy. It would jeopardize our fellowship. Those who agree with our opinions might commend us for taking a stand, but some would always disagree. With the price this high, is it any wonder we choose to not take sides in society's problems? For our own survival, we have no opinion on outside issues. And this I was thinking about because of, you know, everyone's aware of, like, a recent political thing that happened out in the world, and it was a very divisive situation. And thankfully, I didn't hear about it in any meetings I was at, but I have a buddy of mine that we kind of had, like, the same clean time for years, and when we both had, like, 7 years, he went out and relapsed, and then he came back 8 years later, and now he's got, like, I don't know, maybe 60 days. He's back to being a newcomer, and he was in the meeting, and he was like, man, this person, you know, was sharing about the situation that happened and saying how happy they were that, you know, this thing went on, and he was just like, is that supposed to be talked about? Like, what is this about? You know, is this helping us stay clean, right? And what it's saying here is that, like, Narcotics Anonymous takes no stance on this stuff. We come to meetings to stay clean, right? And if we bring up divisive shit like that, it might be just enough for someone to not come back to that meeting, and that could fucking kill someone, right? It's not really a debate. It's not. It says it right here in our literature. And another thing, too, that, you know, one of my predecessors I was talking about on this topic was, he was like, treatment. Treatment centers are not endorsed by Narcotics Anonymous. He was like, you know, if you share that that's the only way you could stay clean, you know, a newcomer might think, oh, shit, I got to leave here and go to treatment. And for whatever reason, I've just always shared that, you know, like, I did go to treatment, but I always just follow that up with, like, I could have gotten clean for a dollar a day. Because, like, all the music started when I got out of treatment, right? Like, the majority of the 40 or 50 people that guys that were there when I was there are dead or relapsed immediately. They're already on their seventh rehab. Maybe one other guy is still clean, right? It's like you get out in the free world, and we got to show up to Narcotics Anonymous and put in the work, right? And so, you know, it's just outside issues. We got to remember, you know, that although this is our community and we go through stuff together, like, we're here to stay clean. Some people are clinging on for their fucking life in that one meeting, every meeting, right? And we just have to remember that. So I do believe the traditions offer us hope that we can all do this together. We cannot stay clean alone. I can't work steps alone. I can't have a home group alone. I can't do service work alone. And so the traditions help us do that together. So I'll pass with that. Thanks.
Hi, everyone. I'm an addict named Steve. And I didn't go to treatment. I came in off the streets. And I say that because of the hope that I got at my first meeting. And that's what it's about, how these traditions offer us hope. When I came in, the only reason why I went to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting is because it had the word narcotics in it. And I just thought it was another place to cop if the streets ran dry. And I could tell you that was October 16th, 1984. And Tommy and Claire took me by the arm. They sat me down. They said, you know, just be respectful when somebody's speaking. You don't. If you want coffee and cookies, we'll get them for you. Okay? And there was a young lady named, well, she was young then, Marge Shared. And I wasn't an addict, you know, because I had a closet full of suits. I owned my own place. I had a car. I was working in Wall Street. From the outside, I was a success. And the way I used was I used so I didn't have to look at myself in the mirror. And I'm going to keep it that simple. And what happened is during the sharing part of the meeting, now you could look at me. And at that time, I did have hair. I'm a short little Jew. And a gentleman shared in the back, a black gentleman, Walik. He was 6'3", well-groomed, well-spoken. He shared. We had the same. We used the same way. We had the same occupation. We had the same education. And the difference between Walik and myself is he had the ability to smile for no reason. Why is he smiling? You know, he was a couple years clean, and his life was good. And that was the hope that I got in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and it talks about the traditions giving us hope. And Drew mentioned that the steps prevent us from suicide and the traditions prevent us from homicide. And I believe that's very true. When I came into the rooms, I came in. I'm from the Bronx. I got clean in the Bronx and Westchester. And it talks about our common welfare should come first. You know, personal unity. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. And I walked in, and there was no prejudice. There was no bigotry. There was no judgment. Everybody in the meeting was an addict. You know, we all were the same. Some of us have practiced it a little longer than others. Some of us have a little more information than others. But we were all in the meeting for the same reason. And that's the unity. You know, we came for one purpose. What we did when we stepped outside is what we did when we stepped outside. But that unity allowed me to bring it outside. It allowed me to treat people as human beings. I started looking as women, not something that I looked at a woman more as a human being than a piece of meat. Okay? I started looking at young people. There weren't too many young people coming in the rooms when I got clean. But to give you an idea about young people, when I came back into the rooms, that was in 1985 and got clean, there was a gentleman sharing, he was 22 years old. I was already 35. And it was a surreal thing. Like, he was like in my head. And I'm looking at him, being somewhat judgmental, because, you know, of course I'm just back. And I'm saying, what does this young pup have to offer me? You know, he was in college. He had his own apartment. His parents subsidized him, paid for his car, paid for his apartment, didn't have a worry in the world. Okay, so I'm saying, what does this kid have to offer me? At 22 years old, he had 5.5 years clean. Okay, what can he offer me? The one thing that I didn't know how to do. And he became my sponsor. And that's a lot of, like, me getting over my judgment of sizing people up and allowing them to present themselves and have my own experience on who they are rather than what I see. And the traditions taught me that. I mean, I learned about it early, but the traditions definitely fortified it. I like to talk about the traditions more, how it applies outside of the room than it does inside of the room, because I go to meetings to enhance my recovery. But if I don't utilize what I enhance, it's a waste of time. You know, and Juan could attest to this. I happen to sponsor him. I think one of the most profound lines in recovery is the last line in the traditions, which says, only with understanding and application does this work. I know a lot of addicts that were very, very smart, and they're not with us anymore. And I know people who don't know how to read, but listened and learned how to apply it, and they have wonderful lives. So for me, it's the application of the traditions and how I function in society. You know, and that's how the first tradition. The second tradition talks about a group conscience. Now, group conscience, in my line of work, we had to do brainstorming. Now, if you don't know what brainstorming is that we have to do this. Everybody give me your ideas on how to do it. We'll write it on a chalkboard, and we'll pick the best solution. That's brainstorming. That's the second tradition. As long as you don't have one ego that supersedes everybody else. But in Narcotics Anonymous, we learn how to blow off those big egos. And those people, this is my meeting. No, it's Narcotics Anonymous meeting. You happen to be part of it, but, you know, that's all you are, is a part. And that helps me apply for things outside. You know, when I play sports, not anymore, but when I did play sports, you know, if you're on a baseball team, you're 1-9. It's not you. You're playing basketball. Pass the damn thing. You know, it's not just you. So it really, the traditions allowed me to, as my parents used to say, that I never listened, play well with others. Oh, yeah. You know, and I don't have to like you. But if we are on the same team, I don't have to fight you when we're on the team. I always have a choice of leaving. But if I'm going to stay, let's achieve what we want to achieve. Okay? And I try to keep it that simple for me. You know, and we go through the third tradition, which is the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. There's a line in the 11th step that is profound for me for the third tradition. And it says, what does it say? It says people aren't born with their skills. It takes practice. So when I join, I don't have to be the best one there. All I have to do is actively participate. I'm a member. You know, it's that simple. You know, you go to the fourth tradition where it talks about autonomy. You know, look at your family. You know, if your family likes horror movies, see horror movies. If they like comedy, see comedy. You know what I mean? It's like, are you hurting anybody by seeing either one? No. But that's what you do. You know, it's like, if you want to keep my car because you don't like it, no. But the thing is, what you enjoy doing, do if you're doing it as a whole and you're not hurting anybody. As a matter of fact, you're probably helping one another by doing it because it what works for you. And that's what the autonomy in the group is. All meetings are somewhat different, but they're all based on the same principles. You know, if you're a beginner's meeting, you don't want to work on the 11th tradition every week. You know, if you're a tradition meeting, you don't want to talk to, you don't want to have people with under 90 days sharing. You know, it's like you look at your audience and that's how you gear the meeting. You know, and it's the same thing with life. You know, if you want to participate with something, you look at like who you're participating with and you make a decision. You know, we talk about, you know, we're not professional. No. You know, it's like when I'm playing baseball, you know, I'm not talking about the stock market. I'm talking about baseball because that's what it's about. You know, we have professionals. You know, I'm not an accountant. I have an accountant do my taxes. I'm not a stockbroker. I have a stockbroker managing my money. You know, I know my abilities. And it's okay for me to have other people help me with the abilities that either I don't know or I don't care to know. Because a lot of times I ask people to do things, I'm willing to pay for it, that I'm just too damn lazy to do. Or I just don't want to do. You know, I don't have to do everything. I could have people, professionals, I could have people in my house renovating it. You know, and the bottom line is I could open up a book and learn how to do it. I just don't want to. So the traditions, for me, and I can only speak for me, allows me to live a very peaceful life. And with that in mind, it's the ability to laugh at what when people get totally stressed out on stuff. You know, hey, I'm powerless over that. You know, there's nothing I can do. The best I can do is walk away. And I do that. I'm not a fighter. You know, if people know me, which everybody doesn't except for Juan, I'm very opinionated. I'm very strong-willed about Narcotics Anonymous. I'm very protective of Narcotics Anonymous. This program not only saved me a life, but it gave me a life worth living. And I'm not going to have you mess with it. You know, and like that's real. You know, if I don't like something going on, I'll say it. I won't embarrass people. I'm not going to start a fist fight, but I'm going to stand on the principles that I was taught. And that's what it's about. You know, somebody asked me to do a podcast, you know, about addiction. And I said, you know, there are two things. One, I don't mention the fellowship that I'm in. And two, I want to be like, excuse me for using this word. I don't know what other word to use, but I want to be black-faced. You know, I didn't mean that insulting, so please. But I don't want my face seen. I'm not going to give my last name. I'll give you my story, and I'll tell you that I'm in a 12-step program. But that's as far as I go with the 12-step program. I don't tell what 12-step program. I don't promote and that sort of thing. That's my personal choice if I want to do it. Now, if I actually do it, that's something else. You know, but I want to know what's going down before I do it. I don't want to be like, oh, shit. You know, I didn't know that. I want to ask the right questions before something happens. You know, and I'm just going to speak about the last tradition. You know, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. You know what somebody told me that means? Mind your own business. You know, it's like my sponsor told me, if people talking about you, it's because they don't have a life to talk about. You know, if people ask me if I saw Juan in a meeting or if I saw Juan, I'm going to say yes. That, I don't think, is about anonymity. If they ask me what he spoke about, why don't you give him a call? You know, he's a friend. Why wouldn't I tell people that I'm with my friends? You know, but his business is his business. It's not mine. And what I found is like, the only way people could feel bigger is by making other people feel smaller. And that shit just doesn't cut it in this fellowship. And thankfully, this fellowship taught me how to bring it outside of the fellowship. You know, so what I practice, people see me do. And when people see me do it, it's attractive. And they go, well, why are you doing it this way? Because it's easy. You know, and I'll close with this. So if people want to share this time. You know, and I love to share with this. I had a female sponsee. She dogged me for 3 years before I said yes. She had about 13 years at the time. I'm going on 40 years. So, you know, I'm not saying that's a reason why I can sponsor women or not, but she had a lot of recovery. And she used to share one thing where I will break out in goosebumps when I say it. And she says, you know something, Steve? My skin fits good today. To me, that is the definition of recovery. My skin fits good. I'm okay with who I am. I'm okay with what I'm doing. I might want to do better things, and I might want other things to work out different, but I know that it's always within my ability to make it worse. And you guys helped me make it better, and I thank you for that.